Again, kids, it's Wednesday night, 10 p.m. I'm TC Downey, and with me on the air is Jeanette. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Right now, it's just Lehi hanging out in the chat room doing his thing. I'm sure he's just geeking out on something while he's listening to us. So, you know, cheers, Lehi.
Hello.
So, just a couple announcements for the folks who, if they're not listening live right now, will be listening later when they archive this. The L316, this week on the 14th, I think it is, makes an official launch of their new Sinister Network. What they've done is take the orderofnineangles.net website and Well, they've really reworked it. They reworked the entire visual scheme. They reworked the entire concept. It's still clinging hard to their, you know, their core ideas or whatever, but L316 is already beginning to evolve. So, again, that's orderofnineangles.net. Check that shit out, kids. I think it's great to kind of see the way that things are moving nowadays. There's a lot of new ideas kind of moving around and a lot of readaptations of old ideas also kind of integrating with it. It's definitely changes in the air, you know. I can smell it. As a matter of fact, I think just about everything reeks of it right now.
Oh, yeah, I'd certainly agree. I do say that I definitely love L316's facelift. I'm very, very, I enjoy it thoroughly. I think that he's taking it in the right direction.
Right on. Well, a couple of side notes also while I'm thinking about it. For the co-hosts who don't know, they've got free reign on the WordPress blog for Ooze, the Ooze Radio, oozeradio.wordpress.com. I'd really like to see at least a post or two a week coming out of all the co-hosts, you know, just anything that might be related to what's being talked to or what's being talked about or what might be being talked about in the next show coming up. You know, just give our listeners something to do. I'm trying to get people away from commenting here on the actual Blog Talk Radio site and move them towards having the conversation there on the Ooze's WordPress page. I think it's a much more suitable platform for text conversation, where the Ooze here should focus primarily on getting people to call in if they're live, and if they're archiving, they should be hitting up that blog.
Yeah.
So, busy week for you. You, I guess, haven't been around too terribly much. I always know the difference. You know, I don't see that cool little avatar you got going, peeking up over, you know, the box. I'm like wondering if you got arrested or something, but no, you're still here.
Yeah, I'm here, and I've posted a little bit, but not much. I'm not transporting my blog to Sin anymore. I decided to just let that go. I have blogged, I think once or twice since I've posted actively at Sin, but yeah, no, I'm gonna be just focusing on my own blog page from now on rather than exporting over there and have to, you know, argue about it, you know, so to speak. If you want to argue with me, you have to go to my blog to do that now.
Right on. I mean, to some extent, I can understand that. To another extent, I don't think it's a wonderful idea to completely abandon, you know, meeting in more neutral territory.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I agree. It's it depends on the content. If it's got to do with something going on at Sin, it'll go there. But I'm trying to I want to get my blog to focus more on the aeonic and generational ramifications of being sinister. So I'm going to be focusing more on that, which is really, in a way, it's I don't know how to explain this right. Sin's not really the best audience for some of the content that I'm going to be putting out now.
Right on. Right. I can completely appreciate that. You definitely, you got to do whatever it takes to continue to evolve yourself. And if that means abandoning a certain portion of audience, well, I absolutely agree with that concept. It's all part of that little evolutionary scheme we got going on there. Speaking of evolution, though, an extinction is on the verge right now. I don't know if you're familiar or not, but as far as I know, the sale for mysatan.net has just about been finalized. And, well, Sin and L316 and certain other members of the ONA, Diavolo in particular, they now own it.
They own My Satan? What? And see, now this I don't know anything about. I read the blog by Dark Index, but I really don't know what's going on with that at all. They're selling it to other people now, or is it going to be there, or is it just gone now?
Right now, it's sitting still as it is, but the future of that particular website is not looking too bright. So, Yep. And I think it's pretty safe to make the announcement here on the news. By the time people actually listen to it, the PayPal transfer should have completely completed. I know the Ning transfer has already been initiated, which means that unless there's some, I don't know, special sequence code, and they do, you know, this phoning back and forth between, you know, the Secretary of State and, you know, the Attorney General, put in the sequence codes, it doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere. This is almost at its final stage, so this will be something I believe people talk about for a very, very long time. This is going to definitely get rid of any kind of good guy badge that might have been floating around Sin.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. That's a pretty dramatic thing to happen. I mean, it's been there for, what, like 10 years now? And it's over, you know? Especially after some of the things that had happened between the two networks, you know, that's just crazy, I think.
Well, it has not been there 10 years, actually. It started in, I think, 07, 08. I want to say 07, but for some reason that number 08 keeps popping up. So it's only been a few years. It's really kind of a sad thing. I was like the third member ever on that website. I was the very first moderator outside of the owner, and Eric Schutz. When Eric kind of gave up hope on it, though, that website went completely into the gutter. So,
I joined it when Atursa was trying to revitalize the site. It was just too much. There was so much drama going on there, and it was I don't know how to explain it. It's like illogical call-outs are fine, you know, but when, like, you actually start trying to argue your point and it's like you're going to be banned if you basically say anything wrong, it's time to just, you know, delete your account, which is basically what I made the decision to do there.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I deleted my account, although now, currently, I now have a sock account there that's an administrator, but it is what it is. It's been kind of funny. I keep getting these requests to approve photos all day long. It's really pretty sad. It's really pretty sad when you think about the fact that the best material that they can offer is emo slash goth modeling pictures of themselves and funny little I don't even know what you want to call it, humorous comics, you know, depicting their political views. That's really all you find on there. So that place has been a philosophical graveyard for a very, very long time.
Yeah. When I was there was very few discussions. I was actually like, oh, this is a good one. I really want to sink my teeth into this. I was kind of like, you know, I'll post a blog or, you know, I think there was like one discussion that I actually really enjoyed, which was a constructive criticism of Satanism. And I'm pretty sure that it was a sock account that started it. But actually, that I thought was an interesting topic to actually tackle, which is like, what do you think is wrong here and needs to be fixed? You know, and that's the only thing I saw there in a membership of like 6 months that was really, you know, actually a good topic that came up. And that person was only there for like 3 days.
Well, that's usually how it goes. Anybody who comes there with the intention of offering something other than, well, just another fucking status symbol on their belt, they're quickly disappointed, and they leave after they realize they're surrounded by butthurt whiners.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Geez, I think I'm all about out of small talk type topics.
Okay.
Did you have any particular things that you wanted to discuss in the front of the show, or maybe we can try to tackle a little bit of sexuality?
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah, I'm ready.
You ready? All right. So, obviously, sexuality can be used to get things that you want, but there are other things that you can do with sexuality, which, it still ultimately is going to result in you getting what you want, but it can be more corrosive and destructive than just some...
Mm-hmm.
Passive manipulative form. What I mean is this. About, August of 08, I took over the Tampa showroom and transferred from the Fort Myers showroom as the manager there at Phantom Fireworks. There was a half-Mexican, half-Puerto Rican girl working there named Julie, who I know was the previous store manager's BDSM slave / office fuck toy. My friend, the guy that used to manage it, had passed away from cancer. I actually have lost two in the past couple of years, so kind of sucks in that manner as I'm getting ready to light another cigarette, but the irony, I'll just have to presume, I guess. So I got there at this at the showroom, and she wanted to be considered one of the assistant managers, though her job title was at that time a fourth key holder, or what they call head cashier. And so she made the insistence that my friend had told her that is in fact not the case, that she was in fact equal with everybody else. He used his particular vein of sexuality, which is sadism specifically, to really mind fuck this girl. And what's interesting about it is not only did he break her down and make her susceptible to believing anything that he told, he also kind of taught her how to do it. And she tried very hard to kind of play the reverse role with me, knowing that I was also interested in that style of sexuality. She tried to play onto it. The problem was, well, she was just a disgusting person in general, so it didn't work. I mean, otherwise the little head might well have won the fight with the big head, but the big head said, oh, I see what's going on. So upon finding out that I was going to be resistant to this approach with sexuality, she actually flipped it. And she was still using her sexuality as a weapon against me as she tried to claim sexual harassment. I immediately called my HR department, of course, and asked for advice on what to do. They told me to document everything that had happened and not to worry about it because they all knew me better than that, which apparently they didn't. If they had any idea what my record was working in those stores, they probably would have been right up all over my ass, but it didn't matter. I wear a halo wall when I need to. Anyway, the rest of the story goes like this. We started moving into New Year's, and she was frustrated because the sexual harassment claim didn't come to anything. So she began telling my mixed population crew, which about 20 people, Hispanic, black, or white, that I was a racist person, which... Again, is absolutely untrue. I think that idiots come in every shape or flavor. I don't hate any one particular race. I think everybody's stupid. So it's pretty easy for me. So I called again in the HR, and what they told me was to just lay her off after the New Year's season was over and not to ever hire her back again. Well, I followed that advice, and she tried yet again to flip the switch the other way and appeal to my animalistic nature for quite a while, actually. It was about a year and a half after she was laid off that she stopped finally texting me naked pictures and stuff. So, my story for the evening. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of sexual manipulation. I mean, she managed to fail, but yeah, no, she's actually hitting every single nerve that she needs to hit, whether it's, you know, appealing to your desires or taking those and turning those against you and actually getting it to where, like, you know, you're villainized for having any sexual feelings to begin with. Yeah, no, that's a real piece of work you have here.
Yeah, well, that was all courtesy of my friend that passed away with cancer. He was really good at fucking over people's heads. It's one of the things that I actually kind of, I actually kind of paid real close attention to everything he told me about it as he was doing it so that I could learn those little tricks, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this man was a 100% sexual predator. And I don't in the, you know, taking advantage of children or raping them. I mean, this dude would lay every girl that came in to fill out an application.
It seems like he had the psychology behind women down, which is really a... I think women get defeated most of the time when a man actually sort of understands where they're coming from on some level and knows how to manipulate that in a way where he actually gets to an advantage. It's one of the ways where I think that women inherently manage the sexual manipulation thing better than men do because there's a real misunderstanding between the two sexes that exist. But yeah, no, it's very evident that your friend did get women and where they're coming from, which is, you know, in a lot of ways more deadly when you're playing that game than, you know, actually trying to manipulate people, as much as knowing exactly how to do that is more important most of the time.
Right, right. And the funny thing about it is he was old enough to be my father. As a matter of fact, he had a son that he, well, never saw, that was the exact same age as me. And he used to tell me all the time that I was his kid. We just got mixed up at birth. he was a short Italian, German-French guy who was legally blind from the Bronx originally. And boy, was he somebody to talk to. Now, one of his favorite trinkets to pull out of his wallet was these two original tickets to Woodstock. He was one of the actual, I think it's 150 people that actually paid to get into that show. And he used that as leverage all the time. I mean, he used it as leverage in the company. He was really good at working things. I mean, this whole cancer thing worked out in his benefit. I'm trying to remember what the name of Cleveland's basketball team is. It's escaping me at the moment. Cleveland Cavaliers, that's it. The entire Cleveland Cavaliers basketball team, actually, after one of the games that we were at there in Ohio, came in, invited John into the locker room to basically show their support for his fight against cancer.
Wow. Yeah.
So this dude was a master manipulator all the way around. But understanding psychology the way that he did and understanding the strength of sexuality, I think, is one of the things that I most admired about this dude. Now, he made some erroneous mistakes, which, if he hadn't been a month from dying when it all caught up with him, would have gotten him fired and thrown in jail.
Yeah.
But when it all caught up with him, it was too late. The company gave his wife $10,000, and they named a firework after him. As a matter of fact, if you go to Phantom Fireworks, or fireworks.com, not phantomfireworks.com, but if you go to fireworks.com, click on the product menu and type in Johnny B. Good, you can actually see the product named after him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. He was a master, definitely. And the thing is that it's, especially with that story, that it's quite evident that you don't have to necessarily be what people say is sexually interesting, especially by societal standards, to actually pull that off, which is even a more interesting aspect of it, is that, you know, Anton LaVey talks about that there's different ways to appeal to that on that level, is that, you know, the way you're describing him, for a lot of these women, he was doing it on the dad level and managing to work it in a very successful way, which is, you know, really surprising, because I think that most people fail to actually hit that one right.
That's exactly right. And one of the things I admire, which is I thought this might actually be a really interesting conversation, because, I mean, that's just one example of the many things that you can use your own sexuality as a tool to accomplish. You know, another example I can think of, when I was 18, 19 years old, I used to hang out on Clearwater Beach a lot with a buddy of mine, Corey. There were two girls in particular that we had met that what their whole gig was they would meet a rich early 20s tourist from another country. They would basically take him back to his room. Depending on what mood they were in, they might, you know, tear him up in bed, but they were definitely going to rob him at the first chance they got, and most likely they were going to hurt him before they left. These two girls were a complete enigma to me, and that they got off on this type of transgression. It was a level of excitement for them. It was Wendy and Cammy. What a pair. Just what a pair.
I don't think I could actually do that. I mean, like, I do use my sexuality to manipulate a lot, but I don't know if I could actually take it to that extreme. That's quite a pair right there.
Right. Well, what's interesting about these two is after every quote unquote job, and I'm just going to use that term because I don't know what else you'd call it, they would dye their hair a different color. And they'd be out on the next day doing the same thing again.
Yeah, that's, wow. I like that, dye your hair a different color than them. That's perfect. I think that both sexes manipulate. I think it's a real misconception that exists that women do it and men don't. I think that's a real falsity that has been thrown out there pretty much from the beginning, is that, you know, I think men are just as sexually manipulative as women. It just manifests in a different way. I think a lot of times they actually manifest in a kind of aggressive manner as opposed to a seductive one.
Okay, can you think of an example?
Well, how do I put this right? It seems to me that, you know, when you look at the two sexes and you boil down their general stature, is that women are in generally weaker than men. I mean, that's a, you know, just, it's a biological thing. And I think that men tend to kind of, I don't know how to put it, like, I was at a bar one time and a guy was hitting on me, and when he was failing to succeed, he moved into a more aggressive pose in a kind of, I was standing on a wall and he put both hands kind of around me to gather my attention, but it was actually a rather intimidating pose to take, and he thought this would be effective, and you know, I think in a lot of situations it actually would, to take a more kind of aggressive take towards a woman, and that they kind of realize, you know, I don't know, like on a subconscious level, I can't actually stop this guy if he wants to take what he wants.
Right. I mean, you got to say there's something to surprise sex. I mean, everybody loves it, right?
I love that surprise sex. I read that when Wicked said that. We're politically correct here. We don't say rape. We only say surprise sex, keep it clean.
Exactly. But on a more serious note, I kind of want to point to the old cliche of clubbing her and dragging her by the hair. It's been the nature of the world since, I don't know, as long as people can draw pictures, as soon as people could draw pictures on cave walls, they were depicting this type of mating ritual. It's interesting to me when I look throughout nature, and I'm just kind of rambling along here, but there's another thing. It seems, depending on the species on this planet, it can flip gender-wise. The more aggressive of the breed isn't always male.
Oh, that's certainly true. I think that, and when you look at human beings especially, you'll notice that, you know, there are some men who are very, very turned on by aggressive women, and there are some men that it has the opposite effect, and they're actually turned on by a woman that has a more innately passive nature. It's one of the things that I think that Anton LaVey nailed in Satanic Witch was, is knowing what kind of man you're dealing with is almost critical if you're going to try to manipulate them in any way, because for some, what would work for one guy might not work at all for another, because they sit on a different end of that scale.
Right. Right, absolutely. I mean, then again, there's guys like me where either way it's good because eventually I'll beat them into the passive nature. So, but no, I do personally prefer for that to be more of a dynamic thing than a static thing. I think that that's what makes intercourse interesting is, sometimes it's just, well, okay, whatever you want. And other times you gotta actually put up a fight to get it done.
Yeah, well, no, I absolutely agree, and I think that I honestly think that men that even want a more aggressive female, I think they want more of a fight before they dominate them. I mean, honestly, I think that's actually the appeal of a more aggressive woman, is that it would take more of a fight to get her down, so to speak. And I don't think it's really that they want to be dominated as much as they want to have a tougher fight before they achieve that stance.
Right. Well, that was sorry, I was a little distracted. Zach apparently doesn't realize we're on the ooze right now, as he's calling my phone. I know why he's calling my phone. My Satan transfer is done. It's finished, and we'll be closing it tonight.
Oh, wow.
So, the era of harboring butthurt just got a little bit slimmer.
Yeah, that's over. Wow, that's gonna be. There are going to be some devastated butthurt people from saying out of this. I'm wondering where they're going to float to now. Maybe they should start their own network. I don't know.
I'm pretty certain they'll all end up on a certain Octi-friendly, if I can use the word Octi-friendly, social network.
Yeah, they'll. Something will pop up out there that'll be, nice and egalitarian for the ones that couldn't make it at other sites, I think Zach posted one time that Sin got the butt hurt from 600 and the butt hurt from Sin went over to my Satan, so it's like, well, now that one of those is gone, where are they going to go? Not to mention, I think that 600 and Sin are a lot more friendly than they were when he made that statement as well.
Right on. So anyway, Sammy's sitting there in the chat room telling me to shush up, but it's inevitable now. There's no reason to keep it quiet, and none of them listen to the news anyway. So it's surprise, they're already. And talk about surprise sex. It's surprise e-sex.
Yeah, it is. I wonder if Dark Vindex is going to join in now.
That would be very curious. I'm interested in hearing his ideas about Siberia.
Yeah, that's what I was like. When I read that blog, I was like, wait a minute, we're starting a central banking system. I think I missed that memo. Okay, yeah, no. Project Siberia. I missed any details about that, And I mentioned specifically, he did another blog one time on rape and mentioned me specifically, and that actually freaked me out because he was talking about what if you could get a drug that would prevent rape, except his example was me instead of like just a woman takes it. It was that I took it. Do you see what I'm saying? And it just got weirder as time got on. That was probably the strangest thing I ever read from him.
Right on. So anyhow, let's see, where were we? We were talking about sexuality, and then I just kind of got it all. I mean, to me, this is awesome. It's just awesome. I mean, if we had video cameras in certain people's front rooms as they were looking at the screen and they click on that link and it goes to either page not found or the Sin Network.
No, yeah, no, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, I know that we have a topic, but yeah, now I'm thinking the same thing about some of those people that are freaking off. Like, wow, I just like to see their face when they realize that it's gone and done now.
Right on. So anyway, other ways you can use sexuality to your advantage. I know you're actually, if I remember correctly, you're a very heterosexual woman. Ever use your sexuality to get your what you want with another woman?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm a I have engaged in bisexual behavior before, you know, or lesbian behavior, but I do prefer men. And at this point, and at my age at this point, I've kind of given up on the whole, you know, anything really to do with women, because I do prefer with men quite a bit. But yeah, no, it's, it depends with a woman, what you're looking at. If they have innate lesbian tendencies, it's a whole different ball game than if you're going to use your sexual manipulation in another way, which is that there are some women who will, if you play a certain way, and what I mean is play nice, and how do I put this right? What you do is you, in conversation with them, elevate them to a stance above yourself, you can typically get what you want with a woman. What I mean is, like, you know, if she says, I like your hair, well, you're going to spend 10 minutes talking about how much better her hair is than yours. This is something that I've used quite a bit, actually, when I'm working, is that women want you, when they compliment you, to immediately degrade yourself and elevate them. It's like if somebody says, and this is a woman thing, like if a woman says, oh, you look nice today. They actually, most women actually expect a woman to say, no, I don't. Man, I've had this shirt for 2 years. And, oh, I'm bloated. I don't feel right. Da, 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 da. Oh, but you look really good. Do you see what I'm saying? That's actually what they want when they issue the compliment. You know, they don't actually want you to just say thank you. I actually did this one day at work where I actually, every time somebody complimented me, I said thank you instead of saying anything else about them, which is actually probably one of the single biggest mind fucks I've ever pulled in my life, because women expect you to immediately dismiss the compliment.
Right on. So fishing for compliments, that's good right there. Here's one for you, and something that I have done. I have used sexuality in a way to make other people uncomfortable. Like if I know somebody is particularly offended by overt public displays of affection, I would make it a point to make them very uncomfortable by being very affectionate with somebody right in front of them. Hell, I mean, over their lap if necessary. That kind of thing is actually very good at creating a level of intimidation, which is not necessarily, I don't know, hostile, but it's very aggressive by itself.
No, if you can find somebody who's, I don't know, not as in tune with their sexuality, and you can manage to bring that out, especially if they're uncomfortable in a situation, you can typically... It's an odd sort of advantage. It's not the same as other forms, but yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's not like you're creeping them out. It's more like you're pushing their psychological buttons than anything else.
Right on. So, I mean, that's precisely what you're working towards in situations like that. But that's a very good. A very good method, in my opinion, of using it, and it's something that doesn't necessarily result in having to get laid. End practice is not always necessarily having to get laid. How about the old cock tease, MO, if you want to call it that? You know, these women get what they want without ever having to take it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually the same ones that end up with the Mexican or Colombian gardener Juan, while the mister's at work. So
yeah. Well, and the thing is with I don't know, for me it's always been the thing that I've actually had men do that I've always found interesting, which is that I'm used to getting compliments on my appearance, okay? And I've had men in the past manipulate me before by actually not complimenting my appearance, but complimenting my intelligence and using the fact that there's that kind of pretty dumb dichotomy out there actually against me in that, no, I'll totally fall for it. If you tell me that I'm smart, you'll get further than if you said I had nice tits anytime. And I don't know why that is, but, I've had people that they're like definitely have used that against me. And I always find it funny because it's like, you totally fell for that, afterwards. It's like, he didn't think you were smart. He just said that and you fell for it. But, that is actually one that works, too, is that women are used to being complimented for their appearance. They're not used to being complimented for their minds very much.
Right on. To kind of couple with that, I'm immediately thinking that one of the methods that typically, and I'm not going to give every secret in the bag tonight, but one of the methods that typically works for me very well is to be extremely uninterested.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the more you put a girl on ignore, the more she, the more she works her ass off to try to get you to pay attention to her.
No, and that does work on me, actually. That one does work on me. And I don't want it to, but it totally does. If some guy, ignores me, I'll get almost, almost crazy. I actually had something in my 20s where this guy would not call me back. And I wound up, to stalker stages. I called him 22 times in one day to get him to talk to me because he was just ignoring me. And it was such an unprecedented incident. I wasn't used to it. I didn't know how to react to it. And later on he was telling me, I just wanted to see how you react. He said, you're a crazy chick. You don't know how to deal with some guy not paying attention to you. I was just waiting 3 days to call you.
That's funny. Yeah. Couple of things I thought were interesting. Over the years, I was alerted to the presence of a website called SoSuave.com, where it actually kind of gives a handbook-style amount of information about ways to improve your appeal to the opposite sex, and in specific it's targeted for guys, but there's certain things that it talks about, if you want to get a girl thinking about sexual behavior, touching the small of her lower back, touching her neck, talking very close to her, and making sure that you're getting a certain exposure of breath on her skin as you're doing that. Eye contact, very hard eye contact. I don't know what it is in particular about women, but if you stare at them too intensely, they get extremely nervous about it, and that, for whatever reason, correlates into those juices getting cooking.
That works. And another one that will work actually is, at least in my experience as a woman, is extreme interest in me. It makes me feel very flattered. If some guy's actually really, really interested in all the stupid components of my day, I'm wow, this guy's like, he knows what he's doing. And the other thing too, though, that I've noticed too is like, and I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty for falling for what, like, are called conversation fillers, almost like a psychiatrist uses that. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it, and then actually pretending to listen, even if you weren't. That actually works on women most of the time.
Right. Well, we all know women want to be listened to, and while men, they don't want to listen at all. So. It's striking that balance, I kind of think it's always funny. It seems like Mother Nature, if I can use that term, played a little bit of a cruel joke there. I often make mention of this study I saw a little while back where they actually took an average count of the number of words used by each sex during the day. Now, this is interesting because the average man uses between 2 and 7,000 words in one day, verbally. The average woman,
yeah,
between 22 and 30,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I actually see that with my husband. He's very, very good at not listening. He's pretty much an expert at that. He can, tell me about that in all the appropriate spots. Yet, if I ask him the next day, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, man, you got me. You totally got me. But no, it's, and the other thing, too, is that women will tend to ramble on when they feel like they're not getting enough attention. Is a very interesting thing. I think that it's an interesting behavior that exists with women. I think that's actually why our words are so much more. Is that I think that women on some level feel innately dismissed. And I don't know if that's a societal thing or, you know, a cultural thing or just, you know, some innate special thing. But, yeah, no, I have those emotions sometimes, and yeah, I know. When I feel dismissed, I tend to get very, very long-winded, or I'll just repeat my point continuously until somebody finally listens to what I say.
I mean, and that's something that I don't think is subconsciously avoidable. You have to really put some kind of a conscious effort forward to not have that compulsion popping up. It's like... what's going to happen with these folks when they find out they no longer have their hug box? There's just going to be this innate twitch that just kind of naturally sits there, like a psycho tick.
yeah.
So it's kind of funny in that way. There was something else I was just thinking about, damn it, and now it's kind of slipping my mind. Oh, yeah. The metrosexual appeal, the guys who fucking bick their heads and have to have this perfect line mustache if they have one at all, and their eyebrows are waxed, and their entire bodies are waxed, and they go to the tanning booth 3 times a week, followed by the gym 4 times. You know, all their clothes have to match and everything. Now, my question is this. Are those women that are attracted to that kind of men confusing a bisexual tendency?
I think so, because at least for me, that particular guy does not appeal at all. And it's kind of a funny thing because it's like, you know, the opposite is the case for me. Like, I don't know, like, men are supposed to be, you know, kind of stinky somehow, you know, like, they forgot to change their clothes, you know, like, I don't know, it's kind of but in that nature, especially when it comes to men, I'm very heterosexual, and I like pretty much the archetypical, almost alpha male, almost to an extreme over the more effeminate versions of the male archetype that exist out there. And I've always been that way. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know, like my preference would be caveman or pretty close to that, which is I think, a little odd, especially because most women tend to want men to be more sensitive or stuff and stuff, but I've never really cared about that at all.
So, women want men to be more sensitive, but on the other hand, they want them to be men too. You can see why this whole thing's sort of confusing. It's like you guys want to have a slumber party, only you want it to end in getting some sausage. I can't really figure it out otherwise.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I think that, but I really think that it has a lot to do with the feminist movement, and I still think that women in America especially are very confused about what the gender roles are and are not, and where they really fit in that, is that, like, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are basically little men, and I'm not a big fan of that myself. I'm just like, I don't get that, you know, like women who will only wear pants, or, you know, like, you get the idea. Like, that to me doesn't make any sense, because I think that a woman's sexuality is in a lot of ways her power source against the world. Not just men, but the world in general.
I would agree with that, absolutely. I think, in fact, part of the reason why it's been such a curbed and taboo thing throughout traditional religious movements over time is the fact that there is, in fact, so much power wrapped around that little reproduction activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's... And I've talked about this before. I don't ever think that women were actually unequal, even in the past. I think that men have always loved women somehow. And my dad actually said this best one to me. He said, "You can only oppress a woman so long before she kills you in your sleep and you don't know what happened." Which I think pretty much, in a lot of ways, nailed the dichotomy between women and men, is that, you know, and this new stage that we moved into, women are supposed to work, but they're also supposed to be mothers, they're also supposed to be sexual, they're also supposed to do this and that, and there's no real defining what a woman actually is. Like, I was reading a statistic in a parenting magazine, which was that the average married couple has sex once a month, and I thought to myself, well, that's just a serious problem. Like, if you want to know why the divorce rate is so high, it's because people have sex once a month. That's the explanation right there, you know. And it doesn't make any sense to me, but I do see that there's and I think it works with the sexes too, is that men don't know what women want anymore, and women don't know what they want or really who they are or what their role is in this current society.
Right. Well, they fought for so long to have the choice of what their role is, that now that that choice is readily available, you know, they got to go through the whole process of defining themselves. I mean, one thing that is notably different about men is that, to some extent, we all operate on these very basic primal thinking levels, you know, eat, sleep, beat chest, shit, fuck. Beat chest, fight,
yeah.
Beat chest.
Yeah.
You know? And that's literally the kind of sequence that goes through a man's head, unless you're Zach Black, and then there's beer in between each chest beating. So.
Yeah.
Right, but one more thing, because we only got about 5 minutes left. So last little thing I want to touch on here is gender role switching. Boys who wear makeup, women who wear, I don't know, wife beaters and combat boots. What the fuck?
I don't know. I've never really understood that myself. Now, I'm a big fan of the tank top personally, but it's for a whole different reason than some of the women I see out there where it's, yeah, no, my mom is actually quite a bit like that, where, like, she has to literally be in charge in a relationship, and she completely emasculates any man she's with. I mean, that's actually the primary reason my parents wind up getting divorced at the end of the day, that she basically has to be the man in the relationship. And she sort of dresses like that, and her hair's sort of been like that the whole time. And, like, you know, I mean, even when I was a kid, I thought to myself, you know, like, I don't get it. Like, you know, like, I can remember with my my current stepfather, I used to think to myself, you know, like, I really like him. He's a nice guy. And I remember I told him one time when I was, like, 20, I was like, I feel sorry for you that you're with her because, like, she's going to take her balls and put them in a jar and you're never going to get them back.
You know, I don't really necessarily have a, like, a hard-line opposition to people choosing to express themselves that way. I just really struggle for any kind of understanding as to what the appeal is of it. You know, mm-hmm. I've done the whole toga thing. I've done the, you know, I lost a bet, so I got to wear a mini skirt and this and that for the whole day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not usually uncomfortable or embarrassed in those particular things, but it's just not something that I would overtly wake up and say, fuck, today I'm putting on nylons.
Well, and that's another thing where I think where the general gender confusion with women comes from is that, you know, like, I know at least in my case, like, actually, you know, and I do actually wear combat boots on occasion, but, you know, I still try to keep it sexy. But the thing is that I see a real turn away with most women from actually using clothing or feeling that fashion can be an object of manipulation, especially like where I used to live. Like, I mean, suburban housewives are the worst. I mean, combat boots, but it's sweats and ponytails. And it's like, you know, it's like an army of sweats and ponytails everywhere you go. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, you know, does anybody wear a skirt ever? No, not really. You know, it's strange. At least in my opinion, you know.
Right on. Right on. So we got about 2 minutes left. I was going to tell a funny story about the store manager of Publix that I was working for when I was 19, but we've just about run out of time. So we won't get there, but to make a long story short, the dude got fired because the regional manager walked into his office and he was sitting there in women's underwear drinking brandy, and it was on company time. So
I had one funny time where a girl at my work got fired because her and her husband were exhibitionists, and it was a gas station. And she went to stock the cooler, like, to stock the beer cooler. And he went in there behind her, and my manager went to get a soda, and they were having sex back there. It was actually one of the single, like, funniest things I've ever seen in my life, is that, like, those two getting their clothes on and getting out of that store, that's one of the fastest things I've ever seen. And yeah, I know, oh yeah, she was fired in ways that were unimaginable. But I still never really understood why. Why do that at work?
Right on. Well, we're out of time. So I guess I don't even know what we're going to talk about next week. We'll post something up on the WordPress.com website, and have a good night. Thanks for joining me tonight.
All right.